Let's get into the servant leader test. I believe, unless something happens differently tonight than I planned, this will be the last week for the servant leader test, and we'll get into the benevolence test next week. So just to bring us up to speed, we've been talking about how servants are men and women that give themselves to assist another's vision or purpose into manifestation. Philippians 2 says, esteem others better than yourself, Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own thing, but on the things of others. And, of course, Luke 16 says, he that's faithful in least is also faithful in much. It says, if you're faithful in another man's, God will give you your own. And, of course, our foundational scripture as being a part of Heirs Christian Center Church, it says the heir is no difference nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So, but is under tutors and governors to the point in time of the Father. So, again, even though we have a destined inheritance or a destined fulfillment, God puts us in positions to prepare us for purpose or platform. And then we looked at, we made this statement, and then we used Mark 10:44, but the statement is, we must understand that arriving at one's platform, purpose, or position in life does not end servanthood. So when we arrive at certain positions and platform, it doesn't stop serving. It only means that as individuals, we must now serve more people at a greater capacity. You know, we know this and we've learned this. You know, even as pastors, we're just serving at a greater level. It doesn't mean that, okay, now we've arrived and it's all about being served. It's about just serving at a greater level. And Mark 10:44 confirms that when it says, they that are chief among you must first be servants of all. You know, these people, you know, disciples fighting, who's going to be top, who's going to be the best, the sons of thunder, James and John. I want to be in this position, that position. You know, again, those that are chief must be servants of all. You know, not be above doing menial tasks. And again, this servant test reveals our true motivation. Is it to be in the public eye? Is it to receive service? Or do we truly desire to help and serve others? You know, we got to even watch that as parents. You know, is our goal just to have kids as slaves? Or are we making sure we're doing all that we can to serve them on their way to fulfilling purpose also? And we said this, servants aren't visitors. They are permanent residents. So you don't visit service. Being a servant is a place where you live. And it takes a level of commitment and discipline to do that. You want to be all in. I'm going kind of fast because this is review. The scripture tells us to meditate on the word day and night, do all that's written therein. Serve the word, then shall you make your way prosperous, then shall you have good success. Joshua 1:8. So, you know, again, leadership or growing to be leaders or being out front is very difficult for people that live in a life of freelance. You know, because people that live a life of freelance aren't sensitive to their audience. It's all about drive-bys. Their whole life is drive-bys. As we talked about in Pictures and Pieces, freelancers don't unpack their bags. You know, it's all about, I'll only do things if it's at my convenience or in my control. And that person can never ever elevate to be a general in God's kingdom. They may do successful things. They may have different ministries. They may have businesses. But they'll always seem like they're at a certain level. So they can always carry the badge of, I'm a businessman, or a badge of, I'm a minister. But God can never use them at the fullest capacity of leadership because they freelancing. And God says, if I send you people, you'll abuse them because you haven't experienced what they experienced. You've never truly unpacked your bags. But as a leader, when we do stuff, or as a businessman or whatever, we're expecting everybody else to unpack theirs. But how can you expect someone to unpack their bags and to be all in with what you're doing if you've never been all in with anybody else? Again, if you haven't been faithful in that which is another man. And sometimes we'll say, okay, well, I heard this principle, so what I'll do is I'll be faithful until I could do what I want to do. As opposed to all in would be, I want to make this vision come to pass. I want to see someone else's visions come to pass. And what God does is on the back end, he's making sure someone wants to see your vision come to pass. You know, we understand that we've been a part of a lot of other people's visions manifested. I mean, some of them are existing as we speak to this day. But it wasn't about us. It was about being faithful in theirs. And then what that God does is give you your own. And it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot to value making it happen for someone else. And we talked to you about how the Bible says the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. They operate in the system all the time. They're always, you know, I have relationships with some great coaches, professional coaches, and one of them in particular, I don't mind saying his name, but Coach Tressel used to coach for Ohio State. Now, he lost his job because he was really trying to look out for some young men, but he's the president of Youngstown State right now. But I watched him. There was a coach that I married this particular coach. He was at the wedding, so my pants was on static cling. So I just remember her being there because everybody was laughing, like, because my pants was clinging. So I just remember that from the wedding. And so I married this coach, and the coach had an opportunity to get a job in South Carolina. He was the up for the an offensive coordinator position, which is a pretty high position. And the guy changed up on him. Coach Tressel was upset. And he was upset because and I was like, wow, why is he upset? You know, you get to keep the coach. But in their culture, it's a part of their culture to promote. It's a part of their culture if I win a national championship, which they did, well, I may not have the best coaches that helped me to win the national championship. But instead of trying to hold on to them so I can win, I have to release them so they can have a team where they can win. And they're trusting that somebody else will come right in and fill that gap. And so we have to understand that in the body of Christ. It's about empowerment. It's not about controlling or lording over people. So being faithful in that, which is another man's. And I look at different coaches that have won Super Bowls. And if you go back and look at their history, they helped another coach win a Super Bowl. So they were faithful when somebody else won the Super Bowl, and they was released to have their own team and win their own Super Bowl. So we have to think like that too, because generals don't become generals in their position. They're just recognized there. So you're already a general. God's just preparing you to be able to be recognized or handle it. And so we said you have to understand, as you're growing as a servant leader, the value of operating in covert service. So there's a season when you're a leader or you're a potential leader, you're growing to obtain something. There's a season where you're going to be behind the scenes. And so that's what's challenging for a lot of people, that really you're designed to be out front. As God told, as Jeremiah, he says, I ordained you a prophet even in your mother's womb. Well, when he ordained them and he set them apart, it was behind the scenes. Right? So it took a while for him to become the prophet. So we gave the example of David. David was tending sheep, not in king school. And a part of being in king school is being the top guy in the military, to be trained in military. It's like going to the Naval Academy or something like that. The kings were trained. Well, a lot of kings were promoted from positions of being in the military. No, David was tending sheep. He wasn't even considered for a king, but he stayed behind the scenes until God promoted him to be a king, even after he was anointed. And so we have to understand the value of covert service. Psalm 27:5, it talks about being in God's tabernacle, but the American Standard Version says, in the covert of his tabernacle he shall hide me. In the covert, behind the scenes, he's hiding me. See, again, once you're out front, you're out front. And once you're out front, you're a target. And so you don't rush to get out front, because if you rush to be a target, like you put yourself out front, you're out there on your own. But if God puts you out front, there's a shield protecting you. Stuff will bounce off you like bullets off of Superman. But a lot of times we try to manipulate our way to be out front. And a lot of times we're out there on our own, and then we wonder why things crash and fall because we couldn't wait in the covert. The scripture says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, right? Psalms 27:14. After 27:13, it says, I would have fainted, given up, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, right? And then you have, Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? So the courage to wait in the covert for God to glorify, promote, and reveal you. We have to have the courage to wait in the covert. We talked about this last week. For God to glorify, promote, and reveal you. The covert is the place in God's design. The covert is a place that God has designed for waiting. So he's designed this protection or this covering or behind the scenes in the shadows. You know, last week when I told you, like, so you're behind the scenes waiting for God to expose you versus running from God's protection or his tabernacle to try to jump out there yourself. For the people online, I went behind the banner. So, and then we gave you Psalm 31:20. Again, this is still review. 31:20, the American Standard Version says, in the covert of thy presence will thou hide them from the plottings of men. See, so God keeps you in the covert. Yes, he has something he has great for you, but he's keeping you in the covert to protect you from the plottings of men. But you running out there tripping over every trap that's being thrown at you. So you want God to discover you in the covert, and in that covert, you're serving, right? David was serving when he was discovered, taking care of the sheep. Elijah was tending ox when the mantle was dropped on him. He was serving his family. When Elijah came and dropped that mantle, he was serving, right? He was taking care of, you know, he was doing some business out there, right? So when the Son of Man comes, will he find you faithful? Scripture, Minister Sammy ministered in the 915 on Living Faith. Yeah, so when God shows up with his platform, his promotion, and his purpose for your life, will he find you faithfully serving, or will he find you sitting there going, it's about time? I've been sitting there waiting all this time. You know, I've worked in corrections. I've shared this story before, and actually I've been talking to a friend of mine that worked with me he's in the whole fight game now. His son's a boxer. But I remember, I said this, so you know I was talking about you. We were talking about just some of the different things. He remembers everything. I remember you said this. And he was telling me, he said, I remember you used to always be reading and writing down. He said, I thought your ministry was a writer because you was always writing down the scriptures. And he said, and I used to ask myself, why are you writing down the scriptures? It's right there in the Bible. You know, now y'all know why, because I've been saying, you know, you increase your memory by 66% when you write stuff down. But he remembered that. That's back in the 90s. I worked there from 92 to 96. I worked with him from 92 to 94. And he said, you don't know, I remember everything. But one of the things we had, what we call morning focus. And it was an opportunity, we have a rap session, and you talk about, okay, what have you been learning? And so one of the young men said, I wasn't minister then. He said, Mr. Bradley, he says, what I've learned is don't watch time, let time watch you. And so it stood out because what he was saying is, he said, because he was on my basketball team, and he's 6'8", maybe. But the 5'11 dudes used to block his shots. Like, he couldn't get nothing off. I said, okay, so we're going to work on something. He says, okay. I said, so the thing is, you want to work on your lift. So every day, you got a regimen of calf raises. Toes forward, toes in, toes out, and then one leg. One leg, one leg. I still do that to this day before I get in the shower. All right, so then I said, so we're working on your calf raises. I said, then you're going to work on your stomach work. You're going to do a certain amount of push-ups. I said, then a certain amount of sit-ups. Then you're going to do a certain amount of push-ups, fingertip push-ups. And I said, your upper body lifts you up. Your midsection holds you up. But but your legs push you up. I said, you gonna get the whole body involved. Before that year was over, I remember this young man had a game. He had 28 points and 28 rebounds. And he was probably the sorriest person on the team. And I had him reading all the time, because you got to work on your spirit, man, so you're not in fear. And so when he said, don't watch time, he says, don't watch time, let time watch you. He says, before you started giving me these things to do, stuff to read, stuff to work on, I used to be sitting around looking at that clock. Like, when am I going to get out of here? And he said, it seems like the hands was never moving. He says, but since I've been doing my push-ups, my sit-ups, reading the words, stuff like that, I got things to work on. He said, time just be flying. He says, so I realized this. Don't watch time, let time watch you. And that's how we have to be as servants. Don't spend so much time looking for your opportunity. Spend your time involving yourself in someone's opportunity. Make something happen for someone else, right? And before you know, you'll look up and you'll find yourself having your own, because you've been faithful in another man's, as opposed to, you got one eye on faithful in another man's, another eye on your own. You know, time goes a lot, it's a lot harder. You should be found faithful. Matthew 26:46, it says, let's go there, Matthew 20:24. Let's go to Matthew 24. This is still a part of last week's review before we get into to today. Matthew 24. It's like, oh, it's some simple principles. And as now, as I'm ministering to people and I talk to people, I find myself tearing up a lot lately, because it's hurting me that people are like, we talked about Sunday. So the Lord had me talk about being clouded and things like that, you know, and missing the pieces right on Sunday. And I really don't, if you leave it up to me, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about it because I know people, you know, it's tight. But I know why I talked about it. This week, I saw why I talked about the different situations that happened. And so a lot of things had me tearing up, because I was like, people can be so stubborn. So stubborn, like, and it's, there's some people that know they're stubborn, and like, I just need to change. Like my best friend in Jersey, he's like, man, Brad, I know, Brad, I need to change. Those people are difficult, but the hardest people to difficult is the people that are stubborn and act like they're not. God be telling them stuff right in their face. Nah, I'm not doing it. Immediately they're saying they're not doing it. They're not going to say it to you directly, but I'm not doing that, because I don't think that's necessary. That's not how I roll. And it tears you up, because you're like, why would God even communicate it to you? And how could you do anything opposite of what God is saying and think it's going to be fulfilling? But anyway, let's go to 24:46. It says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Right? She's finding him serving when he shows up. See, it's saying that there's the servant that serves when the Lord's around, and there's the servant that chills when the Lord's not around. There's the servant that serves with incentive, and there's the servant that lives to serve. It's two different types of servants, right? The person that you find doing, they live to serve. They're not serving because, right? Because they don't have a limit of service, right? And that's, you know, that's what God wants us to get to. You know, I looked at David. David became an armor bearer. And, you know, I remember Jonathan was an armor bearer. I think I gave you the story last week how the armor bearer, so the armor bearer is a servant with great courage to see their leader's vision through despite unfavorable appearance of opposition. So the person that takes on the armor bearer, which is a great level of service, and again, I have to work through how to weave that into our church, because there's a benefit of being armor bearer. Sometimes, you know, we like doing stuff ourselves, but you do learn stuff, because it takes a lot of courage. But I love Jonathan's armor bearer, because Jonathan went to fight against the Philistines, a garrison of people, and only him and his dad had swords. And the servant said, I'm with you. Even though it looks unfavorable, I'm going with you without a weapon. And then as Jonathan took people out, Then he grabbed the weapon and he started taking people out too. And that's how they won the war. But he was with them despite unfavorable circumstances. And so it's just Elijah. Elijah was like, you stay right here. I got to go here. Nah, I'm going with you. And then he goes to Bethel. He said, I need you to stay right here, man. Just stay right here. Nah, I'm with you. I don't care what the situation is. I'm going to see you when you elevate to that next level, but I got to be in step. I can't be chilling. When there's levels, there's levels to things that happen. I was thinking about Waynesboro, and I saw God doing shifting a level. You know, some people experienced that, some people didn't, right? Yeah, so you want to make sure you're not, and that's how I was. Like, you know, I don't care what my work schedule was. I was like, you know, if it's a guest in town or something happened, or we doing something, we doing what? I'm gonna be there because I don't want the anointing to shift things to a certain level and I miss out because I want to be in it. You know, certain things you can't experience getting the CD. So just keep that in mind as we talk. You know, we talked about that last week, it being in covert service, right? Or integrity of service. So God endorses, we've talked about this in our Servants and Sorcerers series, but God endorses servers but not sorcerers. He endorses servers but not sorcerers. So in Acts chapter 8, it talks about, Acts chapter 8 verse 9, I believe it's 8, 9, let's look over there real quick. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So he bewitched them. So he bewitched the people. He was a manipulator. See, manipulators do things only for their benefit and their control. Manipulators or sorcerers are doing... See, Simon was only doing things for what? His benefit and his control. Now, we look at Simon was an obvious sorcerer, but some of us operate in sorcery or manipulation. We only do things that's to our benefit or things we can control. I watched one of the sports shows. We always have to dictate the narrative. That's the only time. So even in conversation, you're asking a question, leading the witness. You're not asking because you want the truth. You're leading the witness. So if they answer you, see, I told you we shouldn't do that. Nah, that's not going to work. All right? The tough thing about a manipulator when it comes to service is because they operate from a lens of, well, ain't nobody think about me. Nobody likes me. Nobody's promoting me, because they're thinking about themselves. It has to be to their benefit or their control. You know, as this sorcerer kept going, he tried to buy the anointing. He saw the anointing being operated. He was like, man, this is, what do I need? Whoa, that level of impact? What do I need? And the response, this is, you can read it through yourself, verses 9 through 23, but it said that he was in a gall of bitterness, meaning he had hardness. He was cold and was operating in jealousy. You know, and the scripture says that person endures for a while, but when persecution arises for the word's sake, it says that person is offended in Mark chapter 4. You know, that person ends up getting into... they go from love to hate real quick. It says the bond of it says that sorcerers was in a bond of iniquity, meaning held captive by sin. You're so clouded, you think that you can pay for this. No, you have to give your life and it's given to you. It's nothing you can control. But that's what we do. We always think there's a way we can hustle. We try to buy ourselves in a position, or we try to hype up ourselves, and as soon as something doesn't go your way, you're offended. Or, well, you don't care about me no more, or you're not thinking about me no more, or what about me? I was here before them. See, that's the person that's operating in the level of manipulation. They have to, their proximity or their platform is the only thing of value to them, not the opportunity to serve in God's kingdom. And so we have to get to a point where that we never see ourselves above servanthood, never see ourselves above servanthood, because, and we have to get to a point where we're living to serve. The scripture says, you know, leaders must, or the chief must first be servant. So we have to get to a point where that's just our operation. That's just what we do. That's how we live. And that's what our focus is. But, you know, sometimes I was sharing this with a gentleman in Miami earlier today, and I was saying it's amazing how, like, you know, some people never had to consider nobody else. They've never had to share. They might have been the only child. They might have been the female child that everybody was there for, or everything has been centered around them. They might have raised themselves. That's a dangerous thing too, because what? You raising yourself, you doing what you want to do. Ain't nobody holding you accountable or challenging you. And that's dangerous. Well, you may have gone through stuff where you isolate yourself from everybody else. You've been so hurt. I know I got to a point where I was so hurt. I was like, cool, I don't need nobody. But now what? I'm blocking out hurt, but I'm also blocking out help. So now I'm not even really considering nobody else. And so you get to a point, you know, for a while I didn't care. I had never met that guy in New Jersey, but I really didn't care. I didn't care what you thought, didn't care what you was thinking, didn't care what you needed. Matter of fact, as far as I was concerned, if it had nothing to do with me, it had nothing to do with anything. And that person can't serve. And this particular guy that was operating that way, which was me, I wasn't serving out to please. I had served all my life in that foster home. And then once I learned how to be cold, I was like, oh, man, we just going to this work. No pressure being cold, because I don't have to care about nobody. And then the Lord going to come and get me. You know, and I care about everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but you know, you can't get above that. And you have to challenge yourself. Sometimes the reason why you do things to your benefit at your convenience, because that's all you've ever done. You never challenge yourself to think outside of yourself. And that's important. So it's in Matthew 20, verse 26. Matthew 20, 26. It says, but it shall not be so. Well, we'll read verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, control, right, and manipulation. It says, and they are great exercise authority upon them. So those that are leaders just try to keep the pressure on. It says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That word minister is servant. It says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Right? So it's saying, if you're going to be great, the word minister is servant. You know, start out being a servant. If you want to be great, learn how to serve. You learn so much, you experience so much if you can learn to serve. Leaders must first serve to discover the reality of their purpose. Leaders must first serve to discover the reality of their purpose. A lot of times we're looking for purpose, but you got to involve yourself in another's purpose to discover yours. You know, so you discover yours while maintaining humility and appreciation along the way. That's why Joshua and Elijah and David are so powerful, because they were involving themselves in other people's purpose, being faithful in another man's, but they maintained humiliation and appreciation along the way. Think about David. Saul tried to kill him, but he stayed humble, and that's God's anointed servant. So that's between him and God. It's not about me and my, ooh, this looks like an opportunity. Some of us, oh, this looks like an opportunity. Take this fool out, and I got the kingdom. Nah, God's going to have to take him out. Because, see, David, I like David, and I like Abraham, too, because Abraham said this when the king said, listen, man, I'll take care of you. He said, no, I don't need you taking care of me. I don't want him to say I was blessed by you. I'm blessed by God. I'm going to sustain that. And David's flow was like, nah, I don't want the kingdom with any level of mishap, hustle, or none of that. I want the kingdom because God put me on that throne. Even when it was time for him to get the kingdom, and the 11 of the tribes was like, okay, you want the kingdom, you roll like this. Well, tell you what, I don't want the kingdom like that. I'll just take Judah, the tribe of Judah, and I'll be king over them for 7 years. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, because he trusted God for every level of elevation he got. And he maintained. You know why he's a man after God's own heart? He lived to serve. He unpacked his bags. Whatever he did, he was all in with the sheep, all in with the harp, all in with serving them food, all in to take out Goliath, all in to serve as a soldier, even though he was getting all the props. Saul took out 1,000, but David took out 10,000. That's between y'all and Saul. I'm still going to serve. He's still the man as far as he's concerned. And that's the attitude we have to have. You know, and this is the key. Like, every leader needs personal experience in different jobs, you know, whether it's church, whether it's business, or whatever the endeavor is, whether it's athletics, so he can understand and communicate with the people in those positions. When he acts as, for example, you know, let's say, you know, we're in a position as a church pastor, you know, having gone through so many different positions and been an all in, you can relate. You know, I've been an armor bearer, so I know how to be mindful. Me and the guy was just talking about this today, the guy from Miami. I said, you know, I was an armor bearer. I said, and a, you know, personal assistant, I was a facilitated services too, in addition to my other duties. But the reason why I liked, when I had to give up the armor bearer duty, that pulled on me more than anything else, because I was elevating at different levels of ministry. And so this pastor said, well, you're doing like 17 different things, pick what you want to do. And, you know, so I was like, okay, I could pass off the youth ministry, you know, this somebody can take over that. The armor bearer ministry, I was learning so much about generals and men of God and how to serve. I was like, this is like my best, this is my favorite ministry. It really was, even though I was humbled some days. There were some days, I mean, I remember when I first started, I couldn't say nothing, no matter what. And so the guests would be trying to talk to me. But I was like the dudes in England. I wasn't saying nothing. And they would be like, so, I remember one time the lady was like, he asked the pastor, like, does he speak? He's like, no, he's doing what he's asked to do, you know. Some of it was probably a little bit over the top. I wouldn't ask y'all to do that, but that's how I rode. This she was serving as an armor bearer. Then she went out shopping one time. They had her, so she had bags. She had bags on her arms, bags on her necks, bags on her ankles. Walking. We ain't talking about, like, it could be like Saks or Neiman Marcus. They wasn't in no, like, corner store somewhere. And again, that was extreme. Like, we would never do nothing like that. But the person leading her really was like, wasn't cool with it. But the other pastor, first lady, whatever, she kind of was like, nah. They soldiers. No, she's like, well, we can take some stuff out to the car. Nah, we don't need to take nothing out to the car. They got it. Well, maybe we should get a cart. We don't need to get no cart. So she had bags on ankles. Imagine walking through the store. The people in front of you got purses, and you dragging them. You got bags everywhere. Like, you know. But, you know, again, we're in this level of position by going through those particular processes. And I can tell you story after story after story, but I just served. And even when my peers, if they were ministering, I'd catch them in the office because I had to prepare them. I was like, okay, I got everything else. You just minister the word. Nah, man, but you're the leader. I said, nah, not today. Today, you serving the word. I said, whatever you give out is less that they get. I said, I want them to get everything, so I'll do all the other stuff. Don't worry about it, man. Listen, I got your Bible. I got your wallet. I got whatever. I just want you to pour out to them. You shouldn't have to be processing and thinking through anything. And she's my witness. You know, people don't have to worry about nothing if I was around, because I'm going to take care of you. I'm mindful of you. Before you thought about it, I was on it. Even if I was, Keith, you could chill, you could relax. Okay, I can relax. I'll be over there in the corner like, nah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I, I got you. So we'd be at this big conference. You were there. People probably didn't see me, but I was always, so, because I'm not like, I'm here, you having a conversation with somebody. I'd be over in the cut, and so the person walked down this way, you see me way in the back, I still got them on radar. By the time that person went outside, the car was ready, running, and ready to go. And if they was hungry, lunch was already in the car. Like, and I wasn't sitting there, we had to learn this in the later years, I wasn't starving, I already ate. We would go places out of town, we would get up extra early in the morning. Already got our meal and everything, so if you call me, we ready to go. Oh, we ready to go, we got everything out, what you need? Not, oh man, we got to hurry up and eat. No. Get to a location and scout out everything. Where to eat, what's open, what time they open. If you need Q-tips, where you going to get the Q-tips from? Ahead of time. If it's certain thing you like to drink, I already got it. If it's certain thing that, you know, you always needed a safety pin, we had a bag we carried around. Remember that bag? That bag had towel wipes, mints, chapstick. It was like a supply bag. So a little sewing thing just in case something ripped and you had to sew your button back on. You know, listen, that person ain't had to think about nothing. Tie was never crooked. You walk out, whoa. I got you up and down. You know, I got you up and down. Well, you might want to go back in there and do this with your hair. Like, that's being faithful in another man's. You don't have to think about nothing. That's Bible. You know what I'm saying? Again, we've been so trained to think about ourselves, we serve at our convenience. So we think about some things that'll help somebody else. But then we got a limit. Like, nah, ain't nobody. We done kicked into my time or my level of service. But I'll speak about this about Pastor Mel. Pastor Mel's a servant to a T. Like, because I had to serve. And in the early years, she wasn't working at the church. I was working at the church, and I was a personal assistant. So we had to stay until the last conference. So the pastor had conferences after service. He'd be there at 2 o'clock in the morning sometime. So I had to be there until the last person. She didn't have to be there. She'd be sitting. She would go in the sanctuary. It'd be dark. The lights would be out. She was sitting in the sanctuary waiting on me. And I'd be like, well, baby, maybe we could figure out a way where you get. She said, nah, I'll just be here until you're ready to go. She would be there the whole time. And sometimes it was a beast. Then when the personal assistant started to change, I'm supposed to be sharing this for some reason. So it changed. Like, it was 4 of us. One guy was a pilot. Actually, he flies around the world now with AEP. And the other, then another guy was a builder. So he built the 66,000 square foot building, then his business started to pick up. The other guy was helping out the builder. So when we were building our building, they're at the other church. The pilot is flying. I was the only person left. So there was no rotation after that. So I was there all the time. But guess who else was there? She was there all the time. Faithful in another man's. And so it's a different level. And the thing is, people can't. Actually, I had this conversation with the guy on the phone today. And there's certain things. Well, what did he say? He said, there's a lot of things you shouldn't even have to ask. But I told him, I said, I'm the type of person, I'm not going to ask. Like, I had a person, I was traveling out of town. They was like, well, I'll do this for you. They took a while. I just did it. Because that's how I am. She'll tell you. She'll be like, sometimes I get on her nerves. She's like, baby, you know, could you do such and such? And let's say something else, she was thinking about something else. I just do it myself. I just let y'all know ahead of time. Like, it's just me. Like, I'm a servant. So I ain't lazy. All right, so again, just keep that in mind as we continue to grow. And as you continue to, there's things that you're believing for, you know, check your service levels. You know, you be checking your blood levels, your blood pressure level. Check your service levels. So our place isn't to choose a calling for ourselves that we desire, but rather to serve and be called to service. Our place isn't to choose a calling for ourselves that we desire, but rather to serve and be called to service, called to that level of calling. Elijah was called from service, as we were saying. He was doing daily tasks when he was called, and that's also what he did after he was called. You know, he continued to minister or to serve. People have some exalted concepts of the call of God, and it is indeed a great privilege and honor to be called of God, but it is a call to service. You know, people just want to be called to position and status, you know, and bling and things. So if you want to get into practice, try serving. If you want to get into purpose, try serving. Some people are super spiritual, waiting for the call of God to do some great spiritual task. If you want to hear the call of God, you will find it in the place of service. If you want to hear the call of God, you find it in the place of service. And I know some people say, well, cool, I'm not going to serve because I don't want to be called by God. And I'll say it this way. Yes, you do. Your fulfillment, your provision, your life is in what God has designed for you to do, not what you desire to do. And that's what's so tough. And, you know, if you think about it, this is this battle sometimes that take place in our inner man, where you've been exposed to things that you may like, and then God is calling to you what you should do. And I'll tell you this, the only place you can never lose is trusting God, but you can lose trusting you. Most of us have lost trust in you. Talk to the people that's a little older. Yeah, you know, some of y'all may make this statement, something told me. It wasn't no something. But you know, we were young, so we go, something told me not to do that. I always tell the testimony. I was traveling with a semi-pro team, so I got to the site where we're leaving from the site. We're traveling by cars or buses or whatever. And the site was a liquor store. And so I'm new in dedicating myself to God. So I'm still growing, but I'm living for God. I'm not smoking, drinking, or nothing like that, pursuing my professional career. And I'm going to use this phrase. Something told me, get back in the car. It wasn't no something. The Holy Spirit's like, are you crazy? But my flesh hit an override button. It was a humility tour. Man, it's like Superman around kryptonite. I couldn't believe certain things that was happening to me. But see, there's things that God is telling you, and you keep battling with, yeah, but I've invested all my time in this, so surely this is what I'm supposed to do. And I told somebody this the other day. It's God, what do you want me to do? And trusting God will come through for you. Not, I'm going to do this, God. You coming through for me, right? Now we mad at God. Well, I have faith. You have faith to just, that's like jumping out in front of a bus and go, God, why you ain't saved me? I didn't tell you to jump out in front of the bus. I'm not obligated to protect you in areas that I didn't send you to. I'm not obligated to protect you in stuff that I never told you to do. No, you got this all wrong. You're following me, not I'm following you. And so that's where our struggle is sometimes, and that's dangerous because we're doing these things, and then we justify them in our mind. Well, this is not really as bad as you may say. Well, it's not hurting nobody. Was that an option? Well, it may be different, but it's really almost the same thing. It's not really, everything doesn't have to be all spiritual. Based on what? Is that a Bible statement? Because I can show you, walk in the spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. So why is it, it's not supposed to be spiritual? But see, everybody's trying to be all super spiritual. Now, well, at this days, it's not even super. You only have to add the super. Yeah, because very few people are trying to be spiritual, because that takes faith. So again, this servant life is a walk in the spirit life, but you got to watch adding your flesh. That's when it's called carnal minded, fleshly minded, fleshly influenced. Just a little dab of do you. Right? You know, you just add a little dab of flesh. We did the baptism, and we had water, and it was pure water, and I put a little bit of dirt. I'm talking about a little bit of dirt. I shook that thing up. It wasn't a little bit of dirty and mostly pure. It was all dirty. And so that's when you start adding a little bit of the world, a little bit of flesh. You're polluting the whole thing, but you've justified in your mind, no, this is compartmentalized. This is totally different. This is separate. Like, I say I live for God, but not when it comes to this. God understands. Based on what? Why? Why does he need to understand? How does that benefit the kingdom, and how does that benefit your life? Because you like it? Listen, some of us in here like candy and sweets. That doesn't benefit our lives. I mean, I eat sweets. It don't benefit my life. That sugar will wear your behind out. Some of us, I can't eat this. Ain't no salt on it. I need some salt on it, man. We got to get some salt, man. Some flavor. Put some more salt on that thing, man. Right. You know, that salt, will dehydrate you. Your aches and pains is from salt. Because it's stealing all your hydration. Think about what salt does. Think about when you just use salt by itself, what it does. Hey man, it'll absorb everything. It'll eat sugar, salt, and starch. That's not your friends. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's true. So you, if you do those things, you're doing it at your own risk. But don't get mad at God because he's not endorsing it. Now I use sugar, salt, and starch, but we can replace it with some other things. Some sex things, some lust things, some music things, some drinking, whatever you want to do. I'm just saying, like, watch doing things and then calling it serving in the kingdom of God, because it's not. All right, so some people want to be evangelists, preachers, healers, elders, spiritual leaders, giants for God. But where are they when there's menial tasks to do? You know, I was a part of, don't get mad when you hear this, because people be watching stuff on video, so. So I was a part of this Bible study. So I had all these people coming out to this Bible study. The Bible study wasn't like in the church behind the pulpit. It was at another venue. So folk would not show up late, call me 5 minutes before they're not coming. I'm trying to rush there. Why? Because it wasn't out front. It was behind the scenes. But like those kids wasn't important. And the kids pick up on it. Oh, you ain't here for us. You know, you sound like you're here because they know. But I love those kids, man. Like, she tell you, one or a hundred, I was there. That's how I met Isaac. And he called me one time. He says, well, everybody has finals. Mr. Bradley, we had finals. So nobody here but me. I said, I'll be there in about 5 minutes. And when I got there, he's just looking at me. He said, well, you came? I said, yeah, well, you could be the next Billy Graham or something. I can't just not show up. No, you just as important. Let's get in it. We got in it. You know, it'd be two. It could be eight. I don't care. I'm there. As a guy used to tell me, I used to do chapel for his Blue Jackets. It's a professional hockey team. And he'd bring me in to do chapel. He said, man, I noticed something, man. Wherever you're at, you're just as excited. He said, we only had five guys show up for chapel today. You rolling like it was, like we did the Bible study, you know, during camp, be packed. You know, you got 100 players at Ohio State, so you have majority of those players because everybody want to get a spot. You know, so you might have 50 to 70 players during camp, training camp. And so he's like, man, you flow the same way. I said, yeah, because people are just as valuable. See, because you're serving. It's not about your shine. It's about what you can give, right? Not what you can get. So, if you show that you're responsible and faithful in the service of the little tasks, perhaps you will be entrusted with bigger things, right? That's why God says, be proven faithful, right? And I already gave you Elijah and things like that. God's leaders weren't fighting to be up front, but were the ones at the back called to the front. They weren't fighting to be up front. They were the ones at the back called to be up front. That's why it says, many are called, but few are chosen. See, the people that are chosen are people that have servants' hearts. And I was talking to a man of God, and I was like, I said, you know, I know you feel like you've been overlooked and stuff like that. I said, but how come God didn't show up? See, that's my catch-all for every situation. Well, God could have just showed up. Well, I don't understand why nobody's thinking about me and I don't have the resources I need. I said, so All I asked them for is such and such. I said, how come God didn't come give it to you? Have you ever thought about that? If it's so right that you're doing it, you're so deserving, how come God didn't override everybody and give you what you deserve? You ever ask that? I mean, somebody's, I don't know, was it perfume or something? I don't know what it was. Perfume could have been cookies. And, you know, they did it. Then they did it for Oprah. Then they did it for such and such. And all of a sudden, it blew up all over the country. Just millions in sales. All they was doing, they just liked doing it. Whatever it was, they just liked doing it. They just liked it as a servant. And it just blew up. So God can do that to anybody. He can do that tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? So again, if we cross over, it's a major key. The servant test, I know it doesn't have the same title that's so inviting. You know, we're talking about the servant leader test today. What? Servant leader test? I can't wait to get to the church. Right? It doesn't have that same. It don't. Woo! Yeah, faith test. Yeah, I got to get the faith test. You know, yeah, you'd be packed up. We had all types of folk in here. Faith test, because it just has like, I need some faith, or courage test. I need some courage. Servant leader test. I probably could serve a little bit, but yeah. You know, you ain't running with the same bite. But it's as important or more. Read through the scriptures. Now, after we go through the servant test, as you read through the scriptures, maybe make a note in your Bible or something like that. Underline, highlight every time you see the word servant. It will blow you away. The passage opens up as a servant of the Lord. Woo! Like every time you see it, it'd be like Paul and all of them was like, as a servant of the Lord, the servant this, the servant that, and you just blow over it. Servant is mentioned so much in the Bible, it's ridiculous. All these people that we're reading were servants of the Lord. So that's why it's important, right? Okay. Let me see. So before I ask yourself this question, who are you serving and what fruit is being produced as a result? So who are you serving? If you're passing this test, who are you serving and what fruit is being produced as a result? Okay, so when you think about fruit, think about this. Are people following you into service? So if you're serving, are people following you into service? Right? Are the level of your servant or whatever you over, are you producing servant leaders yourself? Are lives being saved, changed, transformed, and resurrected? Scripture says go into the world and preach the gospel, right? You know, so again, start with serving those that the scripture says that are of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. And that's your measure. Your measure, you know, throughout our lives, we were faithful in another vision, but it wasn't just you can say, now that boy can serve. He's a servant. No, you looked around and you saw other people empowered, other people showing up, other people attending, other people. Like we were always bringing people to church. All types of people. We was on the campus. Again, I told you that's how I met Isaac. He ended up coming to the church. Donald, who helps with the online from out of town, he was coming to the church. Some of these guys that's come through here, Will Allen, he played for Pittsburgh, he was coming to the church. You know, so just constantly ministering to people. You know, I was doing a Bible study on campus, but whether it's San Antonio Homes or different people like that, they were coming to church. I was always like talking to people about the church everywhere I went. And I tried to represent something where they would go, okay, well, based on what you're doing, I think I want to come to church. Then, not only have people in church, if I was over a program, I had to turn in these reports. And my reports would be, I use reports to highlight folk. So I was like, okay, report. Oh, and such, it could be something like, they just helped set up or something. I'd be like, well, man, we couldn't even got this done without such and such helping. So now the pastor's hearing a name they didn't even think about. Then I would just highlight, oh, such and such actually, okay, we did the classes like we normally did, but we added a class because they actually came up with a great idea for the class. Actually, Pastor Dent now, but Minister Dent, because he was under me as a lead minister, you know, he came up with a great class, eschatology. Yeah, it's a great job with the class. Oh, the eschatology class is off the hook because Minister Dent is doing a great job with eschatology. This young lady, the evangelism class, take you through the roof. So then when we did other things, we might have did outreach, just pull her in to do the evangelism class. We did the equipping church. All right, let's find something. Like, it was always finding ways to get people in position to do stuff. That's serving a vision too. Not just, this ain't gonna work without me. You need me, don't you? No. Even if I'm not here, you got this person that can do it. You got this person that can do it. So again, that's another level of stretching ourselves beyond just doing the things that's important to us. Leaders are servants. We are to lead, not lord over people. You know, Jesus washed feet, he fed 5,000. He served healing. He served them on the sea when there was a storm. He served wisdom. He was constantly serving. He served wedding wine. He served authority and gave power away. He served power. He had all power. He gave. See, again, he's constantly serving. He's constantly giving. You know, I've given you power to tread over serpents and demons. He's constantly serving. So we have to be at that level of service if we're really going to take it to the next level, you know, for our lives. So I just wanted to challenge us with this service leader test. There's so much more. Maybe the next time we visit it, we'll get into some different levels of promotion and different things of that nature. But just to remind us, to challenge us to embrace servanthood. So I took a little extra time today so we could finish this so we can get into the benevolence test in the up and coming weeks, unless something else comes up.